Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to be here. And I'm going to go ahead and open this service with prayer right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast given us this place where we can gather, thanking thee for this opportunity to come together in thy name, to worship thee, to serve thee, to praise thee. And I pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be here tonight. I pray that thy presence would be here. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. For, O God, on this night, when so many people will be looking at political candidates for solutions to the world's problems, we look to thee, O God, as the author and the finisher of our faith. And we look to Thee, O God, as our King, as our God. And we've come together, O God, to praise Thee, to worship Thee. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here tonight will be done according to Thy perfect will, Thy perfect plan. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 143 in the chorus book tonight. We have come into this house, number 143. We have come into this house and gathered His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him and Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him. good to magnify the Lord, to worship the Lord. And we know Him. He's our God. He's our friend. He's not a stranger to us. Jesus, our Lord and our God. Let's go to number 130 and sing, He's my Lord and my God. Number 130, He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord. Just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. Praise the Lord. God. Oh yes, He is our Lord. He is our God. He is our everything. In fact, we sang this chorus last week. Why don't we sing it again? Number 106. He is my everything. Number 106. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, He is our everything. And You know, he did make everything new. He made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He took us and our old ugly lives and made something beautiful out of them. So let's go to number 5 and sing something beautiful, something good. Number 5. Something beautiful, something good, all of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good, all of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good, all of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Praise the Lord. We owe him so much. Yeah. We owe him everything. For he has saved our souls. Yeah. We can never thank him enough for that. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 42 and sing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Number 42. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go to number 141. Number 141 and sing Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Number 141. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. So much, and I appreciate what he has done for me. I hope you all do too. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us this place where we can come together and gather in thy name. And we appreciate thee so much for all that thou hast done for us. For we know that we would be completely lost and floundering around, helpless without thee. But thou hast given us life, and thou hast given us life more abundantly. Thou hast given us purpose. We have a reason to live here tonight, Lord, because of all that thou hast done for us. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us. I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to show us thy ways. I pray, Lord, that we would serve thee faithfully each and every day. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy kingdom. And I pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, this is a chorus that we haven't sang for quite some time. And I think I remember how it goes. And I was looking through the chorus book before the service, trying to decide what choruses to sing, but once I got up here, that just kind of all went away, and really, whatever the Lord laid on my heart, that's where we went to next, and we're going to sing one more chorus before we get started in the Word, and we're already on the right page for it, if you still have your chorus book open. Number 144, Show Me Your Ways. Number 144. Show me your ways, that I may walk with you. Show me your ways, Lord, put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show us your ways, Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley and see what you have to say tonight. Pray to God.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just think it's wonderful to get our minds on the Lord. You know, it's such a thing, you know. You could just get in this state of mind where, you know, everything seems wrong and everything seems down and everything is hindered. And, you know, you could get in that negative rot. But there's nothing like getting into the Word of God. There's nothing like singing and getting your mind of the Lord and watching things turn around. Because if we serve a mighty God, and you know, it's an amazing thing how He has compassion on us. I mean, you know, sometimes, I'll tell you what, we're all human, but I'll tell you what, there's some things that are hard to bear, and sometimes, you know, you might have somebody poured on you, and you know, I'll tell you what, I have had that happen, and sometimes it's like, wow, it's just, it's way beyond me, you know, it's more than I can bear. But I'll tell you what, we can give it all to Jesus, you know. It's an amazing thing how he takes our life, you know, and it's some of those songs we sang tonight, you know, how he just takes us and changes us and gives us hope and you know, has patience with us. The mercy of God is so beyond our comprehension, and what he's done for us and how he's made a way for us. I'll tell you what, we are so privileged here tonight. You meet people all over the place, empty faces and, you know, vacant stares, and I suppose wondering, you know, in the light of all that's going on in this world and all the emptiness of all those promises those candidates make, and, you know, everybody's got to know that, you know, they're just budging it up and, you know, just saying things from the top of their head or, you know, just whatever to try to get votes. And, I mean, come on, what a state of affairs, you know, how empty, how in vain, you know, but yet God's word is given to us, and there we have something to stand on, there we have something with meaning, you know, what God said, he meant, you know, his promises are yea and amen, and they're not, you know, he's not fudging it, he's just not saying something, you know, to, you know, try to make us feel good, but no, his words have meaning, they have life, and, you know, they know how to turn us around, oh yes, how to show us his ways, and how we need to know his ways. And I'll tell you what, I am so thankful for this word of God. We've been studying in the book of Colossians, and with the Lord's help, we're going to go to the third chapter tonight. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot written in this book to tell us how to live, how to be new creatures in Christ, and how to, you know, do the things that please the Lord so that one day we can stand before him. And, you know, it's not only in Colossians, but there's other places. It must be a reason for it. You know, God must have known that we need a lot of help down here in this world to turn around our lives and help us to become stable Christians and help us to be like the Lord. He had to know that. So praise the Lord. With the Lord's help, we're going to go to the third chapter of Colossians tonight. We're going to call this Risen with Christ. And we're just going to see, because it's just down-to-earth words of the Lord here, where he's helping us to know how to conduct our lives as Christians. And I'm so glad for this. You know, at Church of Colossae, when they received this epistle, it must have really been wonderful. I imagine they poured over it. And, you know, they were to share it with the church at Laodicea and the other places near them. And you know, it must have given those early Christians much hope. Because, you know, honestly, they didn't have the Word of God like we have it today. You know, we have these letters that were written, you know, and it's a wonderful privilege to be able to open up and realize, wow, these are words of life. These are words that were given to our, you know, our brothers in the Lord that were used of God so that they could edify the church of the living God. And, you know, as they did the early church, so it is for us too. We have these letters that have been written, and they're truly inspired by God, written by men of God that knew the Lord and had experienced new life in Christ Jesus, that had been risen with Christ. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. It really is a wonderful blessing to us here tonight. But let's pray as we get going here tonight and ask God to have his way. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for all that you've done for us, God. We could not thank you enough. We could not praise you enough. We could not worship you enough, Lord. Oh, God, if you could just help us to realize that you've taken us from this world and given us much hope, Lord. And, oh God, the authority that we have, oh Lord, with thee, oh Lord, to bring down strongholds and to walk in the light, oh God, and to glorify thee, Lord, to be a light in this world. Oh God, help us to realize what you've done for us, Lord. Oh God, if we could just begin to realize, oh Lord, I pray that you talk to our hearts tonight. I pray that you tug at us. I pray, oh Lord, that you help us, oh Lord, to tear down the strongholds in our own lives. Oh God, the things that need to go, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that we understand what it means to be crucified with Christ. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that this word would have meaning, oh God, that it would speak to our hearts. You'd bind this strong man and every hindering spirit and everything, oh Lord, that would try to, oh God, cast this down and oh God, make it not edifying. But Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd speak to us in the name of Jesus. And oh God, that you'd move in us and that you'd change us. And, oh God, that you'd bring that one to repentance, Lord, who has not yet turned their life over to thee. Pray that you would work here tonight in Jesus' name, oh Lord, by the power of the blood. And we give this to you, Lord, asking you to work, oh Lord, for truly without you we could do nothing. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Colossians, the third chapter, very first verse here says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now we have to just glance over at the second chapter here for just a moment to get the full meaning here. It talks about being risen with Christ. And happily, in Colossians, the second chapter, verse 12, it explains this. It explains in Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So there is something that happens to us when we're baptized, we're buried with Christ. We identify with him in those waters of baptism. We go down into the water as we are buried with him. And then we rise to walk with in newness of life. And in other words, we come up as a new creature in Christ. And truly, it's a beautiful thing when that Holy Ghost baptism falls on us as we are baptized in the water. And I thank God for every time that's happened. I've seen people be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they come up, they're speaking with other tongues and glorifying God. And truly that new life there is upon them, and it's a wonderful thing. But so, that explains what it means here. If you then be risen with Christ, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a difference. You know, please, please, please do not tell me that you are Christian. And, you know, if you're just like you always were, if there are no changes in your life, and, you know, you're still chugging on those beers and smoking those cigarettes and dressing the same way you used to dress and cursing like you used to curse and dancing like you used to dance and doing all those terrible things, watching those dreadful movies that don't glorify God, I tell you what, you're no Christian. You're just fooling yourself, because there's going to be changes if the Lord is really Lord of your life, and if he's really coming into your life, there's going to be changes. So it tells us here, if ye then be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Oh yes, that authority that our Lord Jesus Christ has, because he is a resurrected Christ, and there he is with all that authority and power there to help us and to assist us in our needs. And so it tells us in verse 2 to set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Oh yes, as I said, you know, there's going to be a difference when Christ truly comes into our lives. You know, he tells us in 1 John 2 that we're not to love the world, either the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and the love of the Father is not in him, it tells us. For that is of the world, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is of the world. You know, it's not of the Father. And clearly there's going to be a difference if Christ has come into our life. If any man love the world, then it means the love of the Father is not in him. And all those things are going to vanish away. They're going to disappear. They're just vain and empty anyway. But when Christ is really in our life, we're going to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Our whole manner of thinking, our whole way of conducting our lives are going to be different because we've been changed. And, our affections have turned. I can't understand that, if you're truly serving the Lord, that you're going to want, five automobiles and 14 houses and, all these crazy things and, money, and all this and that, or fame, I don't know, all the things that people normally want. But, that's not the Christian way of life. Yes, we thank God for the things that he does give us and the blessings, and thank God. It's a wonderful thing to have the things that we need and even to be able to help others. But that's not where our treasure is. We've got to realize that these things are temporal and that they're going to vanish and, all this, everything that we see, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat and all the works that are in this world, they're all going to be burnt up. This world and all the works that are there are going to be burnt up. There's no escape from that. It's all temporal. And of course, we know, our bodies assume room temperature, and we give up the ghost, so to speak, that we don't take anything with us of this world. It's only what we've done for the Lord that's going to matter at that point, what we did for Jesus. So surely we've got to know not to set our affection on things above, or not to set our affection on things on the earth, but rather on things that are above, as it tells us here. And then it explains in the third verse, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And truly what that means is that we're dead to the world. And, the things that once mattered, all the things that once were important to us, are no longer that way. The emphasis is completely different. It's changed. So we're dead to those things, former things that were so mainstream in our life. And our life, it tells us, is hid with God in Christ. All the things that matter are the eternal things and what we could do for the Lord. It explains it somewhat more here in Romans. If we want to go here to Romans, the sixth chapter here for a moment here. Paul had a lot to say in the book of Romans. It tells us in the 11th verse here, and this whole chapter pertains to being free from sin. I guess we have to go to the 6th verse, actually. It says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The whole emphasis, as I said, is different. And when we come to the Lord, when our life is really hid in Christ, when we've been buried with him in baptism and are risen to walk in that newness of life, then that old man, if we've really repented of our sins, if we've died out to sin, then that old man is crucified with Jesus Christ. That body of sin would be destroyed among us, within us. And I'll tell you what, people may not understand it. They wink at sin. They just kind of think it's typical. Everybody's doing it. It's normal, and God's going to, he's not going to see me as a bad person. I do this. I do these good things. He's not going to hold, my bad habits against me when I stand before him. But I tell you what, God is expecting us to live changed lives. And when we're really crucified with the Lord, if we've really given our life to him, if we've really surrendered that will, then that old man, that old way of life, that old way of thinking, all of those things, we put them far from us. We've cast them away. We've thrown them out.
as a menstruous garment or something, you know, that's despicable and icky. And that that body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I tell you what, sin separates people from God. You know, people don't get it. You know, we've got sin in our heart, we're not going to be able to stand before God. But praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 11, and the whole chapter is wonderful, but verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it tells us in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You don't want to tolerate it. It's become something that you deplore, you know, something that, you know, you can hardly bear. And if we slip up and, you know, do something by mistake, we want to turn it around. We want to give it to the Lord and repent very quickly so that that doesn't linger in our lives and cause us to be separated from God. So it tells us in verse 13 here in Romans 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, yes, he makes us alive in him. You know, that Spirit of Christ comes into our lives so that we're alive. You know, those dead bones that Ezekiel saw there in the valley, oh, come to life. Because that breath of God breathes into our nostrils that eternal life, so that we're alive in Christ Jesus. We're no longer dead and walking in our sins. Oh, no, but we come alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. So no longer do we want to yield ourselves to the devil, to the ways of normality, the ways of sin, but rather we yield ourselves unto God. For it tells us in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Praise the Lord. So there's a great difference in us. And as it tells us in Colossians 3, verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. Oh, yes, he's making all things new in him. And it tells us, in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's our great hope. Now, one day, this is going to be over. You know, this life down here, it's going to end. You know, that great hope that we have within us is living and reigning with Jesus Christ. Yes, and going, oh, to that place that he's prepared for them that love him. And it's going to happen one of these days, you know, sooner than most people think, I dare say. And I thank God, you know, Enoch, who lived so many years ago, it tells us in Jude, the 14th verse, that, you know, Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, he prophesied, and he prophesied of the things that were yet to come. And it tells us, he's saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He saw a preview of the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord coming in the skies with his saints, with his people, those of us that have been caught up to meet him in the air, and those that are already there with the Lord, all coming back to be with the Lord forever. But Enoch had it so right. He realized he was coming to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's coming to judge, to execute judgment, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. You know, they're going to know, you know, there's going to be no excuses. You know, they're not going to, you know, try to, you know, say some lame thing in front of the Almighty God. No, it's going to be just simple and clear. And they're going to know, we're all going to know how we stand in his sight. But here he is. He's going to come one of these days. Oh, yes, and it talks about that glorious event in the 19th chapter of Revelation when John had this revelation too. Verse 11 tells us, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." There he comes. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Oh, there he comes. Oh, the Almighty One, the Lord Jesus Christ, there on that white horse, Faithful and True. And he's coming in righteousness to judge this world and to make war. Oh, yes, against them that are ungodly, can convince them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Oh, yes, in their heart speeches that they proclaimed and all those evil deeds that they've done. And there he comes, the righteous one, oh, clothed with that vesture, that garment dipped in blood. Oh, yes, because he paid that price in his own blood. Oh, that we might be saved, that we might stand before him, that we might all rule and reign with him one day. And his name is called the Word of God. Oh, that Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, that living Word of God that was in the beginning. It tells us in verse 14 here, Revelation, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Oh, it tells us that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints that we've been given, because we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Yes, God coming forth to judge. I tell you what, oh, they've not seen anything like this. No one has ever seen God coming in vengeance to judge this world, to make war. Oh, yes, there he is, that Almighty One. Oh, and out of his mouth goeth that sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Oh, the Word of God that comes out of his mouth to judge this world. We're going to be judged by this Word. We better know it. We're going to be judged by it one day. "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Oh, yes, every eye's going to see him. Oh, yes, "they also which pierced him." You know, and oh, there's going to be that cry that comes forth where they're going to realize there he is, the one that they rejected, the one that they didn't acknowledge as Lord and Savior. And there he is. Oh, there, every eye's going to see him. "And they also which pierced him. And all kindreds on the earth are going to wail because of him." Oh, yes, that cry is going to go forth when they recognize him, when they see him as he comes forth there on that white horse with the armies of God, his people, his children following him. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, that day is coming. And so it tells us here in Colossians 3, with Christ, who is our life. You see, we give it to the Lord. He becomes our life. The reason what we're living for is because of Jesus. "Shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Therefore, because we've risen with him, and because he is our life," tells us in verse 5, "mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And it's talking about the works of the flesh: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All those evil desires, evil concupiscence, evil desires, and especially lust, sexual lust, and all that sort of thing, all these unclean things that people live in, works of the flesh. And I'll tell you what, it says, "for which sake for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Well, I'll tell you what, we all have our past. And you know, the past is the past. There's, you know, you can't relive it. But praise the Lord has taken that past and washed it in his sea of forgetfulness. We've been cleansed by his blood. We went down to the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. That past is gone. Praise the Lord. So we're changed. You know, we're different. We can't be like we used to be. We're going to mortify. We're going to kill those old desires and lusts of the flesh and all those things that, you know, bothered us and, you know, it took us away from the Lord. Oh, that sin, it's going to be mortified. It's going to be killed if we're children of the Lord, in the which he also walked some time when he lived in them. I'll tell you, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, talks about this too. You look at the 9th verse, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" No big surprise to some people. You know, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's just clear and simple there, isn't it? I mean, it's just no. You're not going to, if you're an extortioner, if you're covetous, if you're a drunkard, if you're a thief, if you're an adulterer, if you're an idolater, if you're a fornicator, you're effeminate, or abuser of yourself with mankind, I'll tell you what, it just tells you simply there. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's just very clear here. But then it tells us in verse 11 here in 1 Corinthians, "And such were some of you." Oh, boy. Oh, our past that we don't even like to think about. But it says, "But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God." Oh, that's what he did for us. If we could just halfway appreciate and acknowledge the wonderful gift of God, because he has taken our old life, our old sins, those horrendous things that we did when we walked in the flesh, and he's washed us in his blood. Yes, he sanctified us. He made us holy. He put his Spirit in us so we could be holy. And he justified us. He made us just in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. A lot happens when we come to the Lord and we truly repent of our sins and then go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins and then receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord for that wonderful gift of God, the wonderful things that he has done for us. Oh, praise the Lord. So we don't walk in those ways anymore at all. We are new creatures in Christ. And oh, that old way of life doesn't even appeal to us anymore. Talks about this in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. And I marvel how the book of Ephesians goes along with the book of Colossians here, especially maybe this 3rd chapter. But just looking at Ephesians, the 2nd chapter here for a moment, this is so exciting too. It tells us in verse 1 here in Ephesians chapter 2, "And you hath he quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And again, can we get it? You know, before we knew the Lord, we were dead. Those weights, those sins, those trespasses. I mean, we were in bondage. You know, we were damned. We were headed for hell. But he hath quickened us. He made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. It tells us, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That was the old way of life, you know, just normal, I guess, to most people. Walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I mean, you know, the way of the enemy, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I tell you, this is as hopeless as it can get. But he's talking about our past. But thank God it tells us in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, what a beautiful thing. Oh, what a beautiful thing that he would take us, as despicable and wayward as we were, you know, oh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and you know, living according to, you know, the nature of the children of wrath and all of those things, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Yes, all of those things. The mind, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And not only that, it tells us in verse 6 here, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, this great rejoicing. Oh, yes, when the presence of the Lord comes down and we realize, oh, we're in his presence. He's in our very midst. He comes, he walks up and down these aisles. You know, he sits among us and he talks to our hearts. We're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He's raised us up together. He's quickened us so that we're alive in Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. The ages to come. Oh, yes, that eternity that's, oh, yet to come for the children of God. He's going to show us not only, oh, the blessings that we've been saved, but the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And oh, this chapter goes on to tell about how he broke down that partition that was between us, you know, that allowing us to come to Christ, even though we be Gentiles. Oh, what a wonderful thing. So we've been freed from our past. But there is this need. If Christ is our life, then we're going to mortify those old ways. We're not going to let sin reign in our mortal bodies. And then, besides those things that are mentioned here in Colossians 3, verse 5, it says in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. All of those things want to go. We don't talk like we used to talk when the Lord Jesus is Lord of our lives. And, you know, we're told not to let, you know, the sun go down on our wrath. If there's something in our life that stirs us up during the day, we've got to get right with the Lord. We don't want, you know, to lay our head down on our pillow and have something in our heart to condemn us. But we give these things over to the Lord. Oh, yes, we get rid of these things. We put these things off. Anger, wrath, malice, which is hatred, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. It is no way that those things should be in the body of Christ, in those that have been redeemed by his blood. Oh, yes, we're swearing. You know, if we're using bad words and, you know, just, you know, cursing and, you know, saying the Lord's name in vain, I'll tell you what, we need to get right. Those things can't be in the mouth of a Christian. And besides, it tells us in verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, you know, so, you know, no longer do we walk in that old way? because it tells us here, you have put off the old man with his deeds. You know, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And it tells us, verse 10, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, yes. Our course of, in life is to be after the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're walking in the light, as he is in the light. So many of these things are also declared in Ephesians. Yeah, it's just, oh boy, some the whole, you know, these Ephesians and in this third chapter here of Colossians go so well together, but Ephesians 4:22 just, you know, restates some of these same things. It says in verse 22, Ephesians 4, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, we need that continual renewing in the spirit, those moments with the Lord. You know, there are times, you know, the devil's going to try to, you know, overwhelm you. You know, he's got this way of putting all these negative thoughts within, and he could get you in such a, you know, a situation that, you know, all at once you can't see straight, and you know, all you're thinking of is, you know, all these things that have gone wrong and all this and that. But praise the Lord, we could come to the Lord and renew our minds in the scripture and kneel down and talk to the Lord. And I tell you what, you start thinking about the Word of God, and it starts changing you. And all at once, you know, all of those thoughts that were bringing it down and, you know, trying to take advantage of you and overwhelm you, all at once, they're gone because you're renewing your minds. It's a wonderful thing, you know. You pray and seek the Lord and let His Spirit be renewed within you. And it tells us that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then it tells us, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You don't hang on to things, you know. And you know, if something tries to pull you away, then you give it to the Lord. You don't want sin to reign in your mortal body, and so you give it to the Lord. And I know there's things that sometimes is an indignation that comes over us because of the things of this world, but we don't want to allow it to cause us to stumble or to give us over to wrath. And it tells us neither give place to the devil. We don't want to give the devil any room in our lives, any place. We don't want to open up a door to the devil either. So there's things that have to go in our lives. You know, there's objects, there's movies, there's games that have to go because we do not want to give place to the devil. He's out. You know, we don't want to entertain him in any way. So the things of the flesh have to go. That's why we don't listen to the, you know, filth of this world. That's why we don't go certain places, that we don't allow certain entertainment, we don't mingle with people that dwell in that kind of world. There has to be a separation if we're children of God. We don't give place to the devil. We don't give him any opportunity. You know, I can't emphasize it enough. There's places you can't go. There's things you can't listen to. There's things you can't watch. You don't want to. You know, you begin to see something and, you know, there's swearing, there's cursing, there's taking the Lord's name in vain, you know, there's sinful acts and deeds, then turn it off. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Or whatever. Don't let it become a part of you. Because I'll tell you what, the things that we watch, the things that we listen to, become a part of our lives. So we don't want to give the devil any place in our life. And it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And then it tells us here, and let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, that our words, oh, might have needy, that they might be edified. Oh, yes, that they might be salted with the word of God, and, you know, with hope that we can also bless others with. Oh, yes. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, we don't want to do anything that would grieve the heart of God. You know, you think he's not grieved? If you know, you're reading that dirty book, and you know, you're supposed to be Christ, and you know, you're dwelling on that kind of thing. You don't think that doesn't grieve God? If you're doing that, if you're mingling with the world and you're laughing at their filth and, you know, being entertained by their jokes, and you're going to see, you know, that comedian who's full of filth, I tell you what, that grieves the heart of the Lord. We've been sealed unto the day of redemption with that Holy Spirit of promise. We don't want to grieve that Spirit of God. It will not be good for us by any means if we've got to entertain those things that lead unto sin, idolatry, unbelief, hypocrisy, works of the flesh. And it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All those works of the flesh need to be given to the Lord, need to be yielded to him. Those addictions, those things that are of the flesh need to be given to God. And there's nothing too hard for him. He can, oh yes, he knows how to deliver. He knows how to restore. He knows how to save. He knows how to heal. There's nothing too hard for our God. And it all needs to be given to him. Oh, yes, you don't have to smoke that joint. You know, you don't have to be bound by that alcohol and those drugs. All those other things, that heroin or whatever, all. Oh, that pot, whatever, all. Oh, that wants to grab onto you and make you an addicted person. But all of that can be given to the Lord. You know, he knows how to cleanse us. All of it can be given to the Lord with his promise that he will take it from us and give us power over all those entities. And it says here, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Praise the Lord. So there it is there also in Ephesians. But here, going back to Colossians, tells us, and have put on the new man, verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then it says in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And you know, it's wonderful that you know, those boundaries have been taken down. You know, the thing that once separated us from the Lord is taken down. And so it doesn't matter at this point what our background is, what our nationality is at all. Or if we're male or female, bond or free. But Christ is all in all. And then, therefore, because that wall has been taken down, it says in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so we've had a list of things that we must not do, things that we must not entertain in our lives. And now he's telling us here, things that we need to entertain in our lives and the things that we need to put on as the elect of God, as children of God. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Oh, yes, the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Not the fruit of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. In other words, sustaining one another, holding one another up, forgiving one another. Oh, yes, it's a terrible thing when, you know, people allow grudges and strife and envy to, you know, get down into their soul. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it tells us very clearly if we want to be forgiven, and Jesus emphasized this, we must forgive others. You can't hold onto things. You know, things happen. People say things. You know, sometimes they do things. And, you know, sometimes we're not appreciated or, you know, understood. And, you know, all kinds of things happen in this world. But we can't hold on to those things. We have to let go and let the love of Jesus shine through us. And that love that he had for us, because I'll tell you what, we weren't very loving. Oh, what, I mean, he made something beautiful out of our lives. We sang that song. But what did we have to give him? Nothing but our sin and disgrace, you know, the chattels that our lives were in. That's all we had to give him. But yet he forgave us. Yes, even when we were out there in the world, living in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. He had mercy on us in our sins and in our trespasses. And praise the Lord, because he lives in us, because he has changed us, because he is alive in us. We can forbear one another and we can forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. You know, he has done so much for us. And above all these things, put on charity, he tells us in verse 14, which is the bond of perfectness. I'll tell you what, charity. Oh, yes, I know there's that list. And list in 2 Peter, the first chapter, where, you know, it's, you know, he starts with faith, and, you know, we're to take our faith and build on that faith and bring knowledge into the picture. From knowledge, we're to bring temperance. From temperance, we're to bring patience. Oh, yes, from patience, I believe it's godliness. From godliness, brotherly love. At the very top, it's charity. Oh, what is charity? It's agape. It's that love that gives without expecting anything in return. That's the love that Jesus Christ had for us. He just gave of himself, knowing how wretched and poor and miserable and hopeless we were. Yet he gave of himself that charity. And it says, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh, I'll tell you what a wonderful thing. We put these attributes on because we allow the Lord to come into our life, to cleanse us, to purify us, to sanctify us, to justify us. And then we could put these attributes on because we're letting Christ Jesus reign in our lives. To, you know, we put off the old man and all those other things, and we allow Jesus to rise in our hearts. Oh, what a beautiful thing. And finally, above all these things, put on charity. Oh, that love that gives without expecting anything in return, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh, I'll tell you. And it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Oh, yes, he called us in one body. And, you know, he put us all here together. You know, the head can not say to, you know, the toe, you know, I don't need your toe. You know, the finger should say, you know, to, you know, the knee, I don't need your knee. You know, we're all members in particular. We all have a part to do in the body of Christ. And he's called us together in one body to do the work of God. And then it would be complete. Because, you know, if we're all working together, we're all going to fill a gap. There's a need for each and every one of us in the body of Christ. And it says, yes, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, that peace that He gives us. Because all things are made right in our life. We can have peace. To the which awfully ye are called in one body. And be thankful. I'll tell you what, you have allowed that thankfulness to take over in your life. In spite of things that, you know, might not seem just perfect. Maybe far from perfect, you know. But yet we can be thankful for the blessings. The things, you know, that are dear and wonderful. And even the things that have gone wrong. Because even the things that have gone wrong are often used by God to get us to higher ground. To bring us closer to Him. You know, it's the hard things in this world. The heartaches and the suffering and the sorrows and the pain often that bring us to our knees so that we get closer to the Lord. So praise the Lord in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we can be thankful. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Oh, I'll tell you what, those songs of praise that well up in our hearts, you know, and we get to make that joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, something gets to happen in our hearts when we allow the praises of God to take over. Spirit of praise and worship as, you know, we meditate upon the things of God and, you know, let that song build up, you know. It's so beautiful because, as I've said, you know, a lot of these hymns that we sing, they're like a sermon in themselves. There's such a message in them, and we can sing those spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Oh, yes, they give meaning, they give life, and they help us, they inspire us. And then it tells us the kind of attitude that we're supposed to endeavor with in this world. In verse 17 it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know, if we can't do something in the name of the Lord Jesus, I think we better not do it. Because everything, all our actions, all our deeds, all our words are supposed to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything that we do should glorify God and give thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then it tells us what kind of conduct we should have as children of the Lord. It says in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then it goes to servants. And all these things you can read very closely in Ephesians, the 5th, 6th chapter. And a little more, actually, is given in Ephesians 5 and 6 here. With these words of conduct here. But it tells us, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And that's, you know, there's a lot here. You know, there's an attitude in all of these things. And, you know, for sure, as Christians, we need to be exemplary in our attitudes, in our conduct, in our walk of life. You know, if we're Christians, these are going to be a part of us. It just simple words here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. And, you know, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know, the attitude that we need to have. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And, you know, this goes on. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. But, you know, servants. And sometimes, I'll tell you what, this goes for on the job sort of thing, too, because I think many people, indeed, you know, you don't always have a Christian boss. And, you know, there may be things that, you know, there may be attitudes you have to bear that, you know, because they're not Christians and they don't know the Lord. They might even be pretending to be, but actually far from it. But, you know, here it tells us the conduct, the attitude that we're supposed to have, not with eye service as man pleasers. We're, you know, not to just do it, you know, just to, you know, look good in their sight or to make a good impression. But there's something, it's supposed to be done with the heart. It says in singleness of heart. Fearing God, we're going, everything we do should be unto the Lord to please Him. You know, there shouldn't be some other motive behind it, but we're doing these things unto the Lord, who sees, who cares, who's judging. And it's all unto God. It tells us in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Oh, whatsoever you do, to realize that the one we really serve is the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, and it's not unto men. And this attitude, this mindset, that the things that we're doing here on this world are seen by the great overseer, the one who knows all things, the one that will at one point very soon judge this world and the motives of the heart. Oh, the reasons behind everything. But if we could just have a mindset that the things that we do, if we're really risen with Christ, that, oh, the things that we do, it says hardly. I mean, you know, with all your effort, you know, with a positive attitude, not grudgingly, well, I guess I have to do this because he asked me to do it, you know, but I don't want to. I mean, you know, attitudes show. But we're supposed to do it heartily, you know, as to the Lord and not unto man. Because it tells us in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. For you serve the Lord Jesus, or you serve the Lord Christ, it says here. The great overseer, the one that sees all things. Oh, yes, he knows. He knows. He sees all those little things that sometimes don't seem to be appreciated by other people or even acknowledged, you know, and misunderstood, and, you know, all the things that go wrong, and, you know, all the trouble, and sometimes the blame that somebody puts on you when it's not your fault, and, you know, oh, just all the things that happen here in this world. But yet the things that we do, we're doing it unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ, serve the Lord Jesus. But then this chapter ends, it says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Oh no, the Lord isn't going to excuse somebody because they have more money or because they have more power or because, you know, they are more fit or something else. There's going to be no respect of persons with God or because of their family line or, you know, because they were, you know, of this, you know, nationality or descent, whatever. Oh, there's no respect of persons with God. So that if you've done wrong, you're going to receive for the wrong which you have done. Oh, yes, there's no respect of persons with God. Oh, yes, that payback day is coming. That day when we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that were done in our flesh, all the things in our lifetime, in our journey here on earth, we're going to have to stand before God as individuals. And, you know, it's not going to help, you know, mother or father or, you know, son or daughter or husband or wife. We're all going to be individuals at that moment, and we're all going to have to give our own individual account before the Lord God Almighty. Yes, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And it says in verse 11 here, 2 Corinthians, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Oh man, he's coming with vengeance. Oh, he's coming in such a way that no other individuals ever seen him in that light before. But knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade man. Oh yes, we realize the bondage of sin. Oh, that poor person who's in that captivity. Maybe they were raised in that Catholic religion, you know, and maybe a zealous, sweet person trying with all their being to be good and to do all the things that they know to do, but living, oh, under that filthy system, not being all right before the Lord because of it, needing to get out of that. Oh yes, that individual who doesn't know, who hasn't ever heard. We know the terror of the Lord. And even those individuals who know and have let it slide by, backslidden, and given their hearts over to the things of this world. Oh, we know the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Oh yes, it's all going to be clear and revealed at that moment when all stand before God. Oh yes, those moments when every eye shall see him. Oh, at that point when all are going to stand before the Almighty One there. So it tells us in Philippians, that at the name of Jesus, there, the second chapter of Philippians 10, the 10th verse, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, they will know there's going to be that bowing. There's going to be, oh, that giving that knee over to the Lord at that point. Everything, oh, everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything under the earth, oh, it's all going to submit to the Lord. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father at that moment. Oh, yes, that moment is coming. Now, as I get ready to end this message, let's go to Revelation, the 20th chapter there. Again, what did John see? There in Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. There's no pretending. In front of Almighty God, there's going to be no excuse that can be given at all. There's going to be that moment of accountability, and it's going to be done by the righteous one, the one who knows all things, from whom no anything, nothing has been hidden, nothing has been concealed. It's all obvious before Almighty God. And so it is. There's that great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. Oh, it's going to be so important to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I don't know that we can just but begin to realize what he's done for us there at Calvary. when he took upon himself our sins. And it tells us here, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Here it is, every tongue seeing and knowing and acknowledging. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, yes, that moment is coming when the dead, small and great, stand before God. No one escapes this moment. Here we are, the books are opened. Oh, yes, the books are opened, and everything is clear and open. It's revealed. There are no hidden things at all, not at all. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Oh, I'll tell you what is going to mean so much to be able to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful privilege it is to be risen with Christ. It's no wonder that when our life has been given over to him, the things of this world no longer matter. We become those new creatures in Christ. And you know, we put off the old ways, the old sins, the things that hindered us and bound us, kept us down. He gives us new attitudes and a new spirit and a new way of thinking. And therefore, we can do things heartily as unto the Lord, because we're walking in the light. We want to do the things that please him. And we know deep down inside that of the Lord, we're going to receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Oh yes, our God who sees all things, the things that it seems like maybe nobody else knew, or nobody acknowledged, or nobody else cared. And I know sometimes the very kindest of people, the most generous of people, are not acknowledged or esteemed. But God sees it all. And he knows, and this day is coming when all is going to be made right. And those rewards are going to be given to those that are in Christ Jesus. And I praise God. You know, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. We've worked for him. We've lived for him. If our affections have been set on things above and not on things of this earth, if we've mortified our members which are upon the earth, all those things that are works of the flesh, if we've given them over to the Lord and let him, allowed him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, if we put off the old man and all those evil deeds, all those addictions, all those attractions, all those ways of the flesh. Oh, and we've learned how to yield to the Lord, how to give it over to the Lord, and how to let the Word of God dwell in our hearts. That Word that changes us. Oh, yes, that Word that admonishes us and gives us a way in which to walk. And those songs that well up within our hearts, that help us to put our minds on the Lord and to think on things that are above. Well, praise the Lord, that new life that he's given us. Praise the Lord, so we could walk with him. Oh, yes. So that one day we could receive the reward of the inheritance that he's prepared for us, that he's laid aside for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. God, I just pray that you would work in our hearts. You change us, that you mold us, that you make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. Help us, O Lord, to prepare our lives and do the things, O God, that are pleasing in your sight, to put you on, Lord God, to serve you, Lord, with all our hearts, to be risen with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, why don't we go ahead and sing number 47 in the chorus book, Lord, Make Me What I Ought to Be, number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be. Up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.